us to be but from that same source of water can be cleansed, we can be washed, and most importantly, it never runs dry. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Melissa. Thank you, Jamie, for letting the Holy Spirit use you. That was much needed. Happy Sabbath, family. Praise the Lord. I see, as you heard during the welcome, one of my mentors is here. He told me he would come. He's here. So I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge Richard Jean-Louis from Shiloh, our French speaking SDA Church in Stanford, my youth church. We actually did last Sabbath celebrating 63 years. So today, a couple weeks back, I told him I was gonna be speaking today. He told me he'll be here. So, you know, it all lines up because he's one of those men from Shiloh who always pour into me, always praying for me, always giving me good advice. He's a godly man, and he's one of those people I look up to. So I'm grateful that he's here today. So the topic today is running on empty. Ladies, you have to forgive me. I'm gonna try to target the men for the most part. The reason why I wanna target the men is there are so many people, especially our young men, who are running on empty. Part of the reason why they are running on empty is because a lot of us men have not been taking our responsibility seriously. We have neglected, even within our families, and sometimes even within the church, we have neglected our young men. And as a result, many of them running on empty. And some of us too, as men, we are running on empty. The reason why we are running on empty is because we do not go to the right source. Even though we know what God's word says to us, but we are deceived by looking into the definition of manhood through the wrong lenses, through the wrong teachings. So even though I will try to target the men, ladies, I want to leave you with this. In Luke chapter 8, we were told Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house. Jairus was calling Jesus to come and heal his dying daughter. And on the way to Jairus' house, the Bible tells us in Luke that the crowd, there were so many people around Jesus that they almost crushed him. But this woman, seeing with the eye of faith, she looked, she said, if I could but only touch the hem of his garment, I will be made well. While Jesus was on his way, this woman, with her effort and her faith and her belief, she stopped Jesus in his tracks. So even though today I'm going to be targeting primarily the men, we all don't have to leave here empty when we leave. We could still touch Jesus with a touch of faith to the point to make him feel that we have a need. And without him, that need won't be met. God's ways are so amazing that sometimes we could be in a crowd, but not everybody in the crowd are looking for the same things. Everybody, every one of us have different needs. But the amazing thing is God can supply all our needs at the same time. Not only that, but also, I just want to remind you, while there are many of us in the crowd, some of us are not looking to Jesus with the same purpose, with the same faith. That's why you could have some people in the crowd praising God, moved to tears, even lifting up their hands, thinking about God's goodness and amazing grace to them, while some other people in the crowd maybe wondering what's going on, what's happening. Many of us men, unfortunately, have not been fathered. Many of us have not been mentored or even have good role models. And some of us didn't even have role models at all. Some of us are navigating through life based on our own understanding, doing the best that we can, providing as best as we can, pouring into our families, pouring into our churches, pouring into our communities. Many of us have been given so much of ourselves, physically, even financially, that we are literally running on empty. And the sad thing is, even in the church, where perhaps men are holding a higher percentage of leadership. However, it's the ladies that often are showing us off. According to research that was done by this particular company back in 2014, it says, like, it's called research, Pew Research Center, US, a study on US religion landscape. It says that 72% of Christian women say that religion is very important to them, compared to only 62% of Christian men. 80% of Christian women believe in God with absolute certainty, while only 72% of Christian men believe in God. Mind you, I'm saying Christian. These are not outside people. 70% of Christian women believe that the Bible is the word of God, compared to 72% of Christian men. 74% of Christian women pray at least once a day. 74% of Christian women, while only 60% of Christian men say that they pray once a day. I thank God for the God-fearing, the God-loving, praying women in our lives, because many of them are sustaining us. Many of them are the prayer warriors. Many of them, again, as I stated, are taking the place which we should have been doing as men. As a matter of fact, this past Sunday, we celebrated 80 years. We had our 80-year birthday party for my grandmother. And as I was sharing some thoughts about my grandmother, and I told the crowd, my grandmother is the person who took me to Christ when it should have been my father, but my father was absent. My grandmother was the one who taught me to pray when it should have been my father teaching me these things, but he was absent. Many of us men have been coming to church for years, but we're still struggling with commitment to Christ. Many men, our ideas of God and religion is based on society's standard and definition. For some men who go to church, we are still struggling. We would rather spiritually shack up instead of committing to Christ. I want to remind us of the danger of lingering in the non-committal zone. In Luke chapter 11, verse 24 to 25, it is written, when an unclean spirit comes out of a man, it passes through arid places seeking rest, and when it does not find it, then it says, I will return to the house I left. On its return, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Interestingly, if you look at the book of George for comparison, the Lord said to Satan, whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Peter gave us this warning. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Be careful. We must make it a daily commitment to invite Christ into our hearts. The space cannot remain empty. If the Holy Spirit is not the managing power in our lives, then we leave space for something else. The psalmist in book 5, chapter 116, sung this song. He said, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I breathe. Death wrapped its ropes around me. The terrors of the grave overtook me. I saw only trouble and sorrow. But then I called on the name of the Lord. Please, Lord, save me. How kind the Lord is, how good he is, so merciful, this God of ours. The Lord protects those of a childlike faith. I was facing death, and he saved me, and let my soul be at rest again, for the Lord has done good to me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, how can I take what I'm presenting, these couple texts, to supply the need, Lord, of various people in this assembly who have challenging weeks, challenging times, who perhaps the devil is beating them up and down, who are literally running on empty. So, Father, we look to you because you're the one that could supply their needs. As we come, Father, we pray for your spirit to feed us. Lord, I lay at your feet once again, Lord, my loaves and my fish. I pray in Jesus' name that you would bless it, make it what it needs to be. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, we pray. Amen. I started the week, as I mentioned to you, celebrating 63-year anniversary. It was a great time visiting with friends, people I haven't seen in such a long time. Sunday, celebrating God's goodness to my grandmother for seeing 80 years. Then the rest of the week was up and down. But thank God for his Holy Spirit. One of the challenges, one of the stigmas we have as men is that often we are afraid to ask for help. Many of us, you know, the popular stigma about men is that men don't ask for directions. And in some cases, that is was true for me. I won't speak for everybody else. But the rest of the week was very challenging. And I confided in, like, you know, like I text many of you and asked for prayers. But praise be to God. Once those responses, once those prayers started, like, you know, like happening, I felt the spirit of heaviness lifted off of me. And God renewed my spirit. And I even spoke to Pastor. I said, like, Pastor, I don't know what's going on. But I feel this sense of heaviness that I can't even focus. I can't concentrate. I'm praying. But it's like hard. Then, you know, by God's grace, he reminds me, like, listen, when you are in ministry, when you're trying to get closer to God, the enemy will do everything he can. You will become the target of his attacks. So he told me, hang in there, keep praying. We are praying for you. So I want to thank you guys so much for your prayers. It does make a difference. There's a song that I listened to by Matthew West. It says, line number one, you're supposed to have it all together. And when they ask you how you are doing, just tell them, never better. Line number two, everybody's life is perfect except yours. So keep your messes and your wounds and your secrets safe with you behind closed doors. There are signs at the door that says, come as you are, but I doubt it. Because if we live like this, if we truly practice these sayings, every service, the pews will be crowded. But then you say that the church should be more like a hospital, a safe place for the sick, the sinner, the scar, and the prodigals like me. So I say, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine. But I'm not. I'm broken. Many of us, we are broken. But the problem is we refuse to come to Jesus who can mend our brokenness. Open your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 2. We're going to read verse 9 and 10. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 2. 9 and 10. I will be reading in your hearing. It says, for in God dwells all the fullness of the Godhead, bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. God gave this thought to me over a month ago. I started writing down some thoughts and some notes. I felt moved to focus primarily on the men because of some of the stuff that I shared with you. Many of us men know what it's like, the difficulty, the challenges it is to try to live as godly men. We are under constant attack from the enemy. I'm here to remind us today that let's not allow ourselves to get tired or fatigued trying to do good. At the right time, we will reap a harvest of crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get a chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. This is from Galatians 6, 9 to 10, the Message version. Last week for class, it's interesting how the Lord works. We studied about 1 and 2 Timothy and also in the book of Galatians. So looking at the book of Colossians, a quick background, Paul did not find the church, was not the founder of the church in Colossae. And we do not have further information on how the church came into being. Paul preached the gospel in Ephesus. It may have been there that he met Epaphras and Philemon, two citizens of Colossae. who were converted and became followers of Christ. They may have taken the gospel to Colossae. Epaphras is suggested as the possible founder of Colossian church by a number of scholars. During Paul's imprisonment, Epaphras was with him. He may have visited Paul in order to inform him about the church in Colossae and solicit his counsel about the heresy threatening his home church. The main purpose of writing this epistle was undoubtedly to help the church members in Colossae because they were facing different kinds of heresies with which they had to deal with. We do not know precisely what those heresies were all about, but we can try to reconstruct it by looking at Paul's refutation. Obviously, this false teaching was detracting from the person of and the status of Jesus Christ. Colossians portrayed Jesus in the highest terms, showing his preeminence. The heresies must have downplayed the importance of Jesus. This may be by a trace of early Gnosticism, which developed more fully in the second century, but also found in 1 John. Paul warns the Colossians against philosophy and emptying deception. Furthermore, extreme forms of asceticism may have accompanied that heresy. Finally, the heresy contained Jewish elements such as circumcision and references to fasts, new moons, and Sabbath. The human tradition may also have Jewish element. Therefore, it is best to understand that this heresy as a mixture of Jewish and pagan ideas, such types of syncretism were attractive to many people at that time, including some members of the church. Similarly to the church in Colossae, there is a mixture of Christian and world ideas continuously creeping into our church. God has been using, in many cases, women of the church to not only help me, but to teach me and to point me and to show me some of these like heresies. Like one of the things that's creeping into the church, I remember Sister Lucy, talked to me not too long ago, was about spiritualism. These are all different kinds of teachings, movement that the enemy is spreading within God's church. Today, I'm grateful for the godly men in our lives, but we need more of our men to step up, especially mentoring the young men. Paul, talking to Timothy, his protege, told him not only to teach the women, to teach the young men, but he also charged them to teach the young men. So many of our young men are running empty, partly because they don't have men, godly men, pouring into them. So many of our young men are running empty because some of them, they're following the ways of the world. When they're looking for other source, they are none. I know I'm asking so many of you to make a sacrifice. But if we all work together following Jesus, and he will equip us not only to minister to these young people, but also equip us with what we need. Because I know some of us, we may feel inadequate. We may feel we don't have enough. How can we give when we ourselves are in need? By faith in Christ, turning to him, not only will he provide as he had promised, but also we can learn of him. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9 tells us, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Take to heart these words that I give you today. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you are at home or away. When you lie down or get up, write them down and write them around your wrists. Wear them as headbands, as a reminder. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Today, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for this opportunity. And as we share God's word with the term running empty, what I want to remind you, in the Church of Colossae, there was a mixture of truth and error. There was some teaching Christ. There were some who were trying to downplay the importance of Christ. Like in our society today, there was some movement who would downplay the important role a man plays within the family. Many of us, we see these things, but many of us, we are silent when it comes to these things. Good truths are often corrupted. The Apostle Paul spent much of his time battling false teachers who came behind him and added their own spin to the gospel. He wrote to the Christians in Colossae partly to correct heresy about God and spirituality that had begun to take root there. Even at the earliest stages in the church's life, before any heresies had developed far enough to be labeled with names, Jewish mysticism, Jewish legalism, and Greek philosophy had mixed with the true Christian doctrine. The kind of doctrine that was infecting Colossae would eventually be called Gnosticism. What is Gnosticism, you may ask? Gnosticism is a prominent movement and that started around the second century in the Christian church. Gnostic doctrine thought that the world was created and ruled by a lesser divinity, and that Christ was an emissary of remote supreme divine beings. So Christ was not really fully God. So in our world today, we see some movement that's continuing that trend. And we as Christians, we have an obligation not only to refute these ideas, but also make sure we are teaching our children so when they go out there, they will have received God's true word from home. Ladies and gentlemen, my brothers and my sisters, even for instance, if the men refusing to do what they're supposed to, I give God thanks for the women who step up and do what needs to be done. But we have to understand we have to work together. Not only is the education needed in the home, but the education is needed in the church as well. So when brothers and sisters in the church, moved by the Holy Spirit, are trying to put together teaching or classes, and I'm praying that by God's grace, that we would make sure that we take these seriously, especially in the times that we are living in. Because if they are moved by the Spirit to feel that there's a need in the church to do teachings, we have to make sure that not only support these teachings, but we have to pray and thank God for people who are obedient to the Spirit's voice. Depending on what we are looking at, contemporary society applaud men who are nasty, rough, aggressive, prideful, egotistic, womanizing, possessive, self-centered, and materialistic. We were warned by God that we cannot serve two masters. I know we typically apply that to wealth or money, but I believe it could be applied in other senses as well. We might look successful climbing the corporate ladder, but how is our family life? We might be successful in our worldly pursuits, but how is our spiritual lives? We refuel our cars when our cars are empty. Some of us, we walk around with our chargers. We never let our chargers out of our sight because we got to make sure our phone, our gadgets are fully charged. But most of us, we're neglecting to refuel our spiritual lives. If you are refueling on anything other than Christ, you are running on empty. There was a time in my life before technology was very helpful. I used to drive my car to the point, like the light would come on. There's been several instances like with the gas, like it would be right below the red indicator. So by the time I pull up to the gas station, when I open my tank, all you hear is like, psh. I was literally running on fumes. Even after technology came about to give us how long, I was still doing the same practices. There was a time we were on a family trip. We were in the Garden State Parkway. At one moment, the thing came on the dash. It told me I have 5 miles still empty, but we caught some traffic. I think maybe after about 2 miles, all I saw was just like all dashes under an instrument panel. I was like, oh man, I thought I was gonna have like run out of gas. Many of us, unfortunately, that's our spiritual lives. We're constantly taking chances. Even with like knowledge increasing, even with power available, even with God's promises, we are messing around with our spiritual lives. There's a practice like some of us, you know, like used to do, like we're, instead of going to the gas station and filling up, we'll pay for $5, knowing that we should fill up. It's the same thing with us as Christians. We play with our spiritual lives. We are so, like some of us, you know, like when we talk about like being godly men, what I want to share with you, all of us, especially us as men, we have to not only pray to God, not only we see the teaching of Christ, but we also have to make it a priority to be present in our kids' lives. Because we want to train and teach our daughters what true love looks like. So that way they're not deceived by just anybody who's trying to present lust as a form of love to them. We want to teach our sons how to be godly men. We want to pour into them. So like truly, we don't leave them running empty because we do not know how long we have. So we have to take every opportunity we have. Although it might seem like they don't want to listen, but believe in God. Because I tell people, listen, I believe God will do it. I may not see it in my own time, but I believe God will not only receive my prayers, my wife's prayers on behalf of our children, but others, grandparents who are praying for us as well. Not everything like we will see in our lifetime. Some things we just have to take it by faith. Believe that God is faithful enough. He will do just what he said he do. Another thing I want to share with us as men, we have to seek advice. Many of us are living the lie that men don't seek help because we're afraid we will look weak. As men, we would do well to seek help. Seek advice because there is no shame in seeking help. Proverbs 12:15 tells us the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. According to Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Psalm 1 tells us this, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor seats in the seat of the scornful. But he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water and yields fruits in its season, and whose leaf also does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Some men don't know how to love because they have never been loved. But God wants to teach you how to love. Many men are literally running in empty. Maybe our earthly fathers didn't pour into us. Maybe our earthly fathers left us a void. Now that even at adult age men, that little boy inside is still longing for a father's affection, a father's love, a father's attention. Today, if you are running spiritually on empty, please listen to this reminder. If you have been taken deceived, taken into captive by a different power, I want to share this with you. Each manufacturer, when they're created, like their cars, for example, they may create the car to run on gasoline, but we have different grades, different types. Some cars were made to run on regular gasoline. Some were made to run on premium, and some on diesel, some on hybrids. If you made the mistake of pouring in diesel in your gasoline tank, it's gonna create problems. There are some people who say, well, you know, you could run it 50-50. And that's one of the deceptive teaching. For example, we are told that Christ, the relationship between Christ and the church mirrors the marriage relationship. But some people teach us in marriage is 50-50. Let me share this with you. Is this empty? What would you say this is? And this looks full, right? So now, if this is empty, there's plenty of room. Even though this is full, there's still plenty of room. It's only 50%. So are we selling for 50% of Christ or 100% of Christ? My Bible told me that Jesus gave it all for the church. He gave it all. So in this illustration, when we're talking about, like, even in some teaching, there are different teachings. But if we don't have anything to weigh those teachings against, we can easily be deceived. So if you go 50-50, there is room. But when we are full, there is no room. Did you know one of our fundamental beliefs as Adventists is that growing in Christ? And as we grow in Christ, the more we are filled with him, the more we resemble him. Peter was trying to hide his identity. But when he spoke, the people said, "You are one of them. Your speech gave you away." For many of us, even in our speech, even in our dress, there is no distinction because we resemble everybody else. But what I want you to remember in this illustration, talking about the diesel, somebody, like, I researched it. I was like, what if somebody accidentally put diesel in their gasoline tank? Smoke, it messes with the engine. It causes, like, deposit, like harmful deposit to your engine, through a soot, through a smoke. Spiritually, it's the same way. We have deposit the wrong kind of teaching into our heart, into our minds. But it can be fixed. However, it's time-consuming and costly. Many of us, God wants to fix us. God wants to repair us. But here's the problem. We don't want to pay the cost. And that cost, often it comes in a matter of time. Sometimes we rush from the presence of the Holy Spirit before we can be filled. There are some people, you want to empty on Sunday, empty Monday, empty Tuesday, empty Wednesday, and so on. Then on Sabbath morning, you come, expect to be filled. What happened the rest of the week? Again, growing in Christ, one of our fundamental beliefs. As we grow in Christ, the more we spend time with him, the more we allow his teaching, accepting his true divinity. That was the problem in Colossae, that many did not accept, you know, like the teaching came into the church trying to make the people believe that Christ was not fully God. But Christ is fully God. And the beauty of it is, in Colossians 10, Paul said, like, you know, he is the ruler over all principalities, all powers. So instead of going to a resource, by God's grace, we can go to the source of all power. And that's what God wants to do with us. We don't have to keep running on empty. Many of us, we have been running an empty so long that we have, like, you know, like, keep living in the way that we are living without even realizing that we are running on empty. But if the Spirit is speaking to you today, I'm asking you, along with me, let us listen to what the Spirit is telling us. Let us stop running on empty, because, like, you know, as Sister Cheryl just, like, reminded me, our time is very short. It's time for us to stop playing church. My brothers and my sisters, we don't have to keep running empty. Take it from me. It's not a good feeling when you're running on smoke, when you're running on fumes. But real power is available. God wants to give you power. As a matter of fact, the book of Acts tells us, like, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit come upon you, you will receive power. And as the food for thought in our bulletin says, when we get the power, it is so that we could be witnesses for Christ. We don't use the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit uses us. And one final thought I want to share with you is that in order for us to be filled, we have to give our consent to God and willing to empty ourselves. So, gentlemen, my brothers, one thing I want to, a final thought, when we're talking about emptying, the one thing we have to is empty ourselves of lust, empty ourselves of selfishness, and be godly men who will not take advantage of the vulnerable. Be God-fearing men who people can trust, people can rely on. So we are told, like, you know, there's a standard, and Jesus is our standard, not the world. So as we conclude, I want to remind us today, if you want Jesus to fill you up, if you truly want power, not only to live as godly men, but as godly women, I'm going to invite you to please stand. And I'm going to invite Elder Linval to pray for us.
Let us pray. Our loving Father, who art in heaven, we thank you for your words. We thank you, Lord, for the convicting and the converting power of your Holy Spirit. As we listen to your words, Lord, our hearts were moved to be more committed to you, moved to feast upon your words much more, moved to empty ourselves of everything that is unlike you. We thank you, Lord, for the reminder that if we harbor anything unlike you in your hearts, then we cannot be filled with your Holy Presence and your Holy Spirit. Asking you, Lord, to empty us of ourselves, and may we invite you to fill us up so that we can exhibit your virtues, the virtues of Jesus Christ, the one who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Lord, we thank you for the practical admonition given to us today, Lord, from your manservant. Help us, Lord, that we will, as men called by you, to be a spiritual force in our families, to be a spiritual mentor to the young men of our church. Help us, Lord, that as we come to you to be filled, that we will pour into those around us who are looking to us for spiritual guidance. Lord, we thank you again for your message. We thank you again for your Holy Spirit. And as we leave, Lord, may we be determined to stop running on empty, but to feast upon your words and to allow our hearts to be filled and to the overflow by your grace, by your love, and by your character. Please bless us and hear our prayers today. And again, we thank you, Lord, for the message you sent us through your manservant. In your name I pray. Amen. Please remain standing as we close with hymn 493. Like the woman.